Good point. Anybody's welcome. I'm glad there's some, I hope a lot of people, that'd be awesome. Invite friends and neighbors, because it's also a good way to people that have been taught wrong, brainwashed about this country. Amen? The church has to stand up for the Constitution. And to be honest, we haven't done it for, it seems like a generation now, and that's why we're at where we're at. Amen. I could go on about that. Do you love this Lord, the Lord this morning? We come to you in the name of Jesus, the name above all names. Father, we thank you for the word of God that changes lives, Father God. You shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free, Father God. We thank you for the word of God that changes us from glory to glory, precept upon precept, line upon line. We thank you for the anointing of the Holy Spirit, the anointing on your word by the Holy Spirit, Lord, because you, Lord, you love this word. You wrote this word. This word is for your people today, Lord. So we thank you, Father, that we have ears to hear. We have ears to hear. Father, we thank you for hearts that are open. We thank you today, Lord, that you're going to mend hearts, heal hearts. Father God, encourage people, strengthen people, heal people's flesh today, Father God. We thank you for what you're doing. And Lord, we just honor and worship you. In Jesus' name we pray, amen and amen. You know, I started a series on some of the basic foundations of the Word of God. And I've become resolute in my understanding that sometimes when, in this world you have trouble, you know that, right? If you've been around, you know in this world you have trouble. But be of good cheer, Jesus said, because I have overcome the world. By the way, I'm glad to have some people on the front row today. Amen. Gives me the warm fuzzies. When everybody tries to sit in the back, I'm like, what's wrong with me? Okay, I'm not a spitter. So we've had some base. I've come to realize that if there's continual turmoil and struggle and defeat in an individual's life, they don't understand the foundation of the Word of God, or they need to be reminded. And it's not hard. Living a successful, growing, thriving life in Christ, which God wants for you and me, amen? Comes through the truths of the Word of God, through foundational truths. So we had talked about in the beginning, I'm on the fourth truth or foundational truth. We started with redemption, how God purchased us, amen, by His blood. He purchased you. You belong to Him, amen? Justification was the second one. Justified freely by His grace. Justified freely by the grace of God. And one that was a powerful that unlocked a world to me in Christ and growing Him was understanding sanctification. How when you're born again, that spirit man in you, being we're spirit, soul, and body, amen? As when you're born again, your spirit becomes brand new. He gives you a new heart. But when you became born again, did you still have some struggles? Well, you were a babe in Christ. And when you have a baby, you don't take a baby and say, hey, you need to ride a bicycle. You don't take a 10-year-old and say, here's the keys to the car. Unless you live on a farm, that might happen. I've heard stories. But you have this justification, meaning you have the justification of being a born-again part of you. Oh, man, you belong to Him. You're justified. You've been redeemed. But you have that sanctification part of you growing in Him. And when you're growing in Him, even in your mistakes, remember I mentioned this, that He still loves you every bit as much. He hasn't turned His back on you. Sometimes religion will say that when you've had struggles and you're downtrodden even, or struggling in areas of your life, that God has turned His back on you. Oh, on the contrary. On the contrary, if you realize that, no, He's there calling out to you. He hasn't turned His back on you because He already redeemed you. He already justified you. Now there's that part of sanctification of you growing in Him. Amen? Continue to grow. And continuing to grow. So sanctification is salvation, the growth part, and then the final sanctification or glorification is when we get a new body. Amen? And many of us said, amen to the new body. Thank you, Lord. And so now today we're going to talk about reconciliation. The fourth one in our doctrinal foundations is reconciliation. You know, reconciliation really, if you look at it in the Greek and or Hebrew, means this: the war is over. It's about two warring factions coming to peace. Two warring factions coming to peace. And so I could also call this fourth title, I have the doctrine of reconciliation, but I could subtitle it, "The War is Over." I want to blend in into my message just a true story. And some of you have heard this story. Maybe some of you haven't. But about a Japanese soldier who continued fighting World War II long after the Japanese had surrendered because he simply did not know the war was over. The war was over. On December 26th in 1944, as we start our message, Onoda today, was sent to Lubang Island in the Philippines. His orders from his commanding officers, Major Yoshimi Taniguchi, were simple. You are absolutely forbidden to die by your own hand. It may take 3 years, it may take five, but whatever happens, we'll come back for you. Until then, so long as you have one soldier, yourself, you are to continue to lead him or yourself. You may have to live on coconuts. If that's the case, live on coconuts. Under no circumstances are you to give up your life voluntarily. So I start out this, here's a guy, he's gotten his, on this island, he's gotten his marching orders. Do not give up, no matter what. Don't take your own life. Fight, fight, fight to the end. And when this battle, when this war is over, we'll come and get you. We'll find out this soldier took those words very seriously. I mean, they were the gospel truth from him from that point on. How long did it take him anyway? But we'll find out later. How long did he believe the war wasn't over? Number one, my first point is, how do we know biblically God wants reconciliation? Reconciliation between God and man. There's always this war in the Old Testament. Remember the blessings and the curse? Do what I say, follow the law, and you have the blessings. Don't. And there's a curse that comes after you. There always seemed to be a war, and there was, between mankind and sin and God, who is holy, just, and perfect. But we start seeing evidence of this war coming to an end. In Luke chapter 2, verses 13 and 14, it says, Luke chapter 2 and 13 and 14, it says, "And suddenly there was with the angel," this is when Jesus, "a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, 'Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill towards men.'" See, reconciliation also means peace. You've heard that term when there's a problem between two people, or maybe even in a problem in a marriage, they're looking for, hopefully, reconciliation. Amen? If there's no reconciliation, then there absolutely is no peace. And so we're talking about reconciliation between God and man as a foundational truth, reconciliation. God saying, hey, with these angels singing in the choir of angels when Jesus was born, "On earth, peace, goodwill toward men." Amen? We start getting a picture of what Jesus came to do. And I tell you, as we go through this, many did not know his purpose until after he was born again, or after he was raised from the dead, was long gone at the right hand of the Father, as he began to pour out the Holy Spirit. Then believers began to understand slowly what God meant when he said reconciliation. Let us continue our story with the gentleman, the soldier. So in October 1945, Onoda and three soldiers he was in command of came across a leaflet from the local islanders to them saying, "The war ended August 15th. Come down from the mountains." The few remaining cells discussed this leaflet extensively, but eventually decided that it was Allied propaganda trying to get them to give themselves up. They felt that there was no way that Japan could have lost so quickly since the time when they were deployed. Indeed, this would seem strange to anyone who had no knowledge of the atomic bombs dropped on in Nagasaki. So they didn't even know. I'm telling you that when Jesus came and died and rose from the dead, there was a hydrogen bomb that was dropped in the spiritual world. There was a bomb that was dropped that wiped out the power of the enemy. You know, there's a lot of people that don't even realize that today still. The power of what the gospel accomplished for you and I. They couldn't imagine that a bomb so powerful was dropped that the war instantly over. A short time before that, they've been told, keep fighting. We still have some territory, so keep fighting. And the enemy had some territory in this world until Jesus rose from the grave. And then a great bomb by his blood was dropped in the spiritual world. And it said this, the war is over. The war is over. Many saints still live. Well, I don't want to get ahead of myself, but I probably will. Many, not people out in the world, but many people who believe in Christ think that there's still a warring faction between them and God. Between them and God, there's a warring faction. God is still upset with them. God is still not quite right with an individual. He's still not really, he may love them, but he doesn't really like them. So number two, the purpose of reconciliation between God and man is peace. See, the opposite of war is what? Peace. Matthew 24, 4 and 8 says this. See, I want to say this. In the world system, you can't look at the world system to find peace. You've discovered that by now, haven't you? Have you discovered that by now? That you cannot look at the world system and find peace. In Matthew 24, 4 and 8, it says, and Jesus answered and said to them, see to it that no one misleads you. For many will come in my name saying, I am the Christ. Or you could say it this way. Or many are going to come and say, I've got some new revelation. Many will come and say, I've got a new word from the Lord. Many will come and say, I've got a new fad that's finally going to get you over the hump for what you're looking for in your life. And I'm telling you, the Lord does not work that way because everything that he's accomplished and given us is found in the Word of God today. The war is over. We're not waiting to receive something from God. He already accomplished it 2,000 years ago with a nuclear bomb in this spiritual realm that wiped out the power of the enemy. I am the Christ. They will mislead many people. Thank you, Jesus. We're not a people that will be misled. Amen. That will mislead many people. Verse 6, and you will be hearing of wars and rumors of wars. See that you are not alarmed, for those things must take place. But that is not yet the end. For nation will rise up against nation, and kingdom against kingdom. And there will be famines and earthquakes in various places. But all these things are merely the beginning of birth pains. You know, if you read those first few scriptures of Matthew 24, his disciples had asked him, because he had mentioned, he said, hey, look, you see this temple? Talking about the temple in Jerusalem. Not one stone will be left on another. This system is coming down. This system that I set up through the law and coming to me through a priest, this system is coming to an end. And in AD 70, what happened? And the Romans destroyed Jerusalem. They destroyed that temple. Not one stone was left on one another. So when he starts talking about this, mind you, that he says this is the beginning of birth pains. These birth pains have been going on, saints, for 2,000 years. They didn't just start with what we're seeing going on today, right? We've been seeing this for 2,000 years. But you know with the Lord, the day is 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is as a day, so time means nothing to the Lord. But one day it will definitely come to an end. So when we're talking about walking with peace with God, we're not looking at our surroundings. We're not looking at what's out there. We're looking at what God's doing in your life, inside of you, inside your home. This is what we're talking about, reconciliation or peace. Amen. Amen and amen. Let's continue with our fellow there that was still thinking the war, World War II, was going on. So eventually near the end of the same year, local 1945 or 46, eventually near the end of the same year, Islanders fed up with being shot at and raided, got a Boeing B-17 to drop leaflets all over the jungle. These leaflets had the order to surrender printed on them from General Yamashita. You got to be careful how you say that word I discovered in practicing it. Yamashita. The few remaining cells once again scrutinized these leaflets. These guys got these leaflets, right? To try to determine their authenticity. In the end, the wording on the leaflet pertaining to the method with which they would be sent back to Japan seemed fishy to them. Largely because the wording made it seem as if Japan had lost. Something they couldn't fathom, and which was a big problem in their willingness to accept the war had ended. If Japan had won, they would come and get them. Japan couldn't lose, so the war must still be going on. With many people, I think, with Christian well-meaning people, I believe this war is still going on as far as God bringing peace with man. God having peace with you. God desiring to bring peace and total peace in your home. You know, I've been around a few years now, 55 years. I mean, it's still in your prime, but it's a few years. And I've come to realize in my walk with God, if there's not peace in my home, then there's something that's not quite right in my understanding with peace, reconciliation with my Lord and Savior. Sometimes the enemy's always trying to tweak that, always trying to tweak our understanding of reconciliation. See, what the enemy tries to do is he convinces you that it's up to you to have reconciliation with God. Here's what I'm telling you this morning. It's understanding that he already paid the price to give you reconciliation. It's accepting it by faith. It's understanding by faith. And God begins to open up a whole new world of revelation and understanding of the peace of God through Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, which comes through the Holy Spirit. Righteousness, peace, and joy. Righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. That's the kingdom of God. Righteousness, he's my righteousness. Oh, doesn't peace sound good? Joy. Does the world need to see some joy? Righteousness, peace, and joy. Amen. So I understand that if there's a struggle in my life, if there's peace, and if I don't have peace, I have come to learn to be led by peace. If I'm not being led by peace, or there's troubled waters in my soul, I stop and say, okay, where's this coming from? I've said that many times. Lord, where's this coming from? Because you have already paid the price for reconciliation, peace. If there's a war going on in my soul, I stop and say, Lord, his Holy Spirit, show me, what is this? I don't want to live with troubled waters in my soul. Saints, I don't want to live with troubled waters in my house. If God has made reconciliation as far as the foundation of the gospel, then I should. If I've got a home, a godly home, there should be peace in my home. God wants peace in our homes. And much of it is understanding what reconciliation means in Christ. Number three, reconciliation through Christ. Let me read some scripture. I'm glad because you guys love scripture. 2 Corinthians 5, 17 through 21. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, this person is a new creation. The old things have passed away. Behold, new things have come. Now, all these things are from who? God, who reconciled us. He didn't say he's starting to reconcile us. He's thinking of reconciling us. He's got it on the back burner, reconciliation. He's starting to wonder. He's given it a thought. Maybe reconciliation for you. No, what's it say? Who reconciled, past tense, us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. Paul said, what did Paul say his ministry was? Reconciliation. Reconciliation, 19. Namely, that God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, not counting their wrongdoings against them. Saints, listen. Not counting their wrongdoings against them, and he has committed to us the word of what? Reconciliation. The word of reconciliation. Not counting the things that we've done wrong against us. Have you ever done anything wrong? Did you do some things wrong 20 years ago? The big thing, and we hit it over and over again, but we have to keep that word washing over us. Your past does not determine who you are in Christ unless you want to allow it. It's not who I am. It comes to the point that the guy that Chad was, it's even hard for me to explain because I don't even relate to that dude anymore. Because I've been reconciled to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Amen. He's brought peace. Amen. Verse 20, therefore we are ambassadors. Listen to Paul. Therefore we are ambassadors for Christ, as through God we're making an appeal through us. We beg you on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. He made him who knew no sin to be sin on our behalf, so that we might become the righteousness of God in him. Isn't that amazing? He made him who knew no sin to be sin. Where did he become sin? On a cross? On the cross? All my sin on the cross? Come on, saints. All my wrongdoings are on the cross. All my struggles today are still on that cross. All my struggles of tomorrow are on that cross. Therefore, I can say with a clean conscience, I have been reconciled in Christ, and therefore I walk in peace. Peace. So I say this morning as I implore with you, if you don't have peace in God, say, God, what is it in my heart that you want to show me? Because it says we're a new creation. It means we have everything already in us. And as regarding reconciliation, was ours the minute we gave our hearts to Christ Jesus. If you're working towards reconciliation, you'll never get there, saints, I promise you. You'll never get there. And if you do, that means your self-righteousness is, whoo, that doesn't smell good. That stinks. But what it is saying, Lord, I have been reconciled to you. In those areas of troubled water, you say, Lord, how can I bring peace to these areas? Show me, Lord, by your Spirit. Show me by the Holy Spirit. Show me through your word how I can have peace in every area of my life. On my job, amen? In my home. A Sunday morning. On Monday morning, amen? Peace in Christ. And as I've said before, it's no big deal because most everybody in here knows that Monday is the best day of the week. Amen? Monday means opportunity. So when Friday comes, tell people, don't worry, Monday will be here soon. So let's get back to our soldier. So in these leaflets, when this didn't work, more leaflets were dropped with newspapers from Japan. Photographs and letters from the soldiers' families. Delegates were sent from Japan and went through the jungle speaking over loudspeakers, begging the soldiers to give themselves up. In every case the cells encountered, there was always something suspicious in their mind about the way it was done to cause them to believe it was an elaborate hoax by the Allied troops. Excuse me. You know, I hope this morning that there's not a suspicion in your heart or mind that God would want to bring peace and reconciliation in your life. Sometimes the gospel being that good news. We talked about those foundations. We'll think, nah, I don't think so. I've got to do something. Yeah, you got to believe. We said it many times. If you believe a man was raised from the dead 2,000 years ago, you've already fallen off the cliff. You might as well believe all the way that he by your trust in him by faith is how you access this reconciliation. See, God already paid the price. See, the reconciliation of you and I now has to be accepted and believed on our ends. See, religion would tell you that's propaganda. That reconciliation isn't, it's not yours unless you do this, this, and this. Unless you meet these quotas and do this, this, and this. No, that's the propaganda. That's what'll keep you in the wheelhouse of performance. That's what'll keep you not being confident before God. That's what'll keep you kind of wondering, he loves me, but does he really like me? I'm telling you that he paid that price for reconciliation, and if you believe in it by faith, it is yours, and then you can start simply asking God who lives in you, Lord, how do I bring peace to these areas in my life where the waters are troubled? How many homes don't have the peace of God because they simply, in their walk with the Lord, don't understand reconciliation? Reconciliation. His, the war is over. He paid the price. The God of righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. That is the kingdom of God. Are you still out there today? Are you with me? It's kind of bright up here, so I can't see too well. Amen. So the Japanese then sent a search party to try to find Onoda in the jungle. Unfortunately, he was too good at hiding with 27 years of practice. They could not find him. Onoda continued his mission. He still did not know the war was over. Number four, so how do we walk in this reconciliation? How do we walk in peace? Well, it's found in the scripture, saints. Ephesians 2, 13 through 17. But now in Christ Jesus, say Christ Jesus. But now in Christ Jesus, you who previously were far away have been brought near by the blood of Christ. For he himself, listen saints, for he himself is our peace. The power of God in you, moving in you, changing you, revealing his goodness to you, amen? Him revealing his goodness to you brings that peace. For he himself is our peace, who made both groups, now he's talking about Jews and Gentiles here, who made both groups into one and broke down the barrier of the dividing wall. By abolishing in his flesh the hostility which is the law composed of commandments expressed in ordinances. Taking my sins, the things that said I was guilty, those laws, and nailing them to the cross. I mentioned this Wednesday. From my mind, it's just me. I see the law, and I see blood on it, his blood. And I see it nailed to a cross because that was those rules and regulations that said you are guilty. You cannot have peace because you're guilty. And then when he nailed the regulations, the rules and regulations to the cross, once and for all, he says, there it's done, reconciliation. I am here to bring peace to you, peace to your hearts, peace to your lives, to live and dwell within you by the Holy Spirit. Amen. For he himself is our peace, who made both groups into one and broke down the barrier of the dividing wall by abolishing in his flesh the hostility which is the law, composed of commandments expressed in ordinances, so that in himself he might make the two one new person, Jews and Gentiles being saved the same, in this way establishing what? Peace. Who established peace, by the way? Now, we know in this world that doesn't have peace, they don't know God, right? But in here, the Lord has designed us to live in total peace. And when we don't have peace, he designed that you and I be led by peace. Many times, whether it be business or my life, I've learned I'm waiting for this voice to talk to me. And it doesn't happen. I read the Word of God. I know what's right and wrong. I know the truth. I've learned to be led by peace. If I have a check mark, check, I don't proceed. If my wife has a check mark, we are not proceeding. But I've learned in my life to be led by His peace. Amen? You can trust the peace of God. Even if it doesn't look good, there's been times where I said, yeah, but Lord, it looks like a much better decision to do this in my mind, in the flesh of man, right? But the peace of God says, no, and this, and then I do that, go that direction. And then down the road, you're like, man, Lord, am I glad that I allowed the peace of God to lead and guide me? See, it says, for He Himself is our peace. See, He established peace. It says, in this way, establishing peace. You and I, saints, can't establish it. Not much reading, not much studying, not whatever. Those things are good, but that's not what establishes peace. It's knowing that the peace, that the entity between God and man has been broken, the barrier has been removed, amen? And we've been reconciled through Him. So accessing this through faith in God, amen. 16, and that He might reconcile them both. He's using the word reconcile here, isn't he, Paul? And that He might reconcile them both, that's Jews and Gentiles, in one body to God through the cross. By it having put to death the hostility. That was the law. And He came and preached peace to you who were far away and peace to those who were near. That's the Gentiles, the Jews are the ones that were near. The ones that were far away were the Gentiles, and the ones that were near were the Jews. So He came and preached what? Peace. Amen. Colossians 1, 18, 22. Let's keep going a little bit here. He is also the head of the body. Who's that? Jesus Christ. The church, and He is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, so that He Himself will come to have first place in everything. For it was the Father's good pleasure for all the fullness to dwell in Him, Jesus, and through Him to reconcile all things to Himself, whether things on earth or things in heaven, having made peace, saints, having made peace through the blood of the cross. See, when I'm needing peace in areas of my life, I remind myself of my position in Him. I start out by saying, God, You know how great my behavior is. God, You know how wonderful I am. You know how many scriptures I've memorized. Lord, you know that I read this and do that. Lord, You know that all the check marks that I love, I have completed. Therefore, I should have peace. No, that's not all those things that are as good as they are. He made peace through the blood of His cross. See, He paid that price. He's the one that paid the price for our peace. So what do I do when the enemy comes against me with lies and different things? Sorry, Bucko, I know I can be a mess up, but I have peace through the blood of cross, of His cross. I have peace and dominion of peace shall rule in my home because of the blood that was shed on the cross. And it says, and although you were previously alienated and hostile in your attitude, engaged in evil deeds, yet He has now reconciled you in His body of flesh through death in order to present you before Him holy and blameless and beyond reproach. I can go before Him, and so I say, thank You, Lord, to the blood. I am holy, I am blameless, beyond reproach. That's my position in Him. How could I be seated with Him in heavenly places if I wasn't? I can't dwell in heaven and have a position with Him if I don't have those things. How could it ever say that we are seated with Christ and in Ephesians, and seated with Christ in heavenly places, if I wasn't holy, blameless, and beyond reproach? But see, what we look at is the flesh part of us and say, no, the part that we're still growing in. So you can't look at that. I mean, what I'm saying is that you can't allow that to be your position. And when you realize that, peace becomes yours because you're saying, hey, I'm not looking at that as my righteousness. I'm not looking at that as my acceptance. I'm not looking at that there's enmity between me and God, even in all those things I may struggle with. I am still seated with Christ in heavenly places. And when you have that revelation of who you are in Christ, those things that start to bother you, that you struggled with, the hurts and the pains begin to be healed by the Holy Spirit of God because you already realize who you are in Him. If you know Him, believe it or not, now your wife may... never mind. Man, that's a different message altogether. But in Him, saints, we've been reconciled. We're holy. This is amazing. We're blameless. Let me just read verse 22 again. Yet He has now reconciled us. Is He going to reconcile us, or has He already reconciled us? Yet He is now in His, in order to present you before Him holy, blameless, and beyond reproach. So the biggest thing now that you and I will deal with through this lifetime when you're born again is Satan, the accuser of the brethren. And he does it most like he's talking to you in your head, or you have tape play, where we wrestle not against flesh and blood, so he'll tell you how bad you are through people. The enemy loves using people. If you're married, which you don't want, one of those people the enemy uses because you don't think reconciliation has already happened. You don't realize that it's the price has already been paid. You don't realize that everything has already been accomplished in Christ. And when you rest in that, I've come to know that I can have peace and rest in that and encourage my spouse and encourage my friends and see some of those things that there are weaknesses all of a sudden begin to disappear. But the flesh part of us says, no, we got to hammer those weaknesses. The law says you got to hammer those weaknesses, right? But it never amounts to peace. It never ends up with peace. It always ends up of trying to measure up. When you realize, you and I, saints, that we already measure up, it's amazing the desires, hearts that will begin to come forward. It's amazing the load that lifts off and you have a relationship with the Lord that's based upon a relationship. Now when you're reading the Word of God and the different things, it's like, wow, God, the things that you're showing me are revelation truths. They've not only something I've read and memorized, but it's something that is now exploding inside of me as truth. Amen. Let's get back to this soldier for a second. Finally, in 1974, a college student, Nerio Suzuki, decided to travel the world. Among his list of things to do on his journey was to find Anoda, a panda, and the abominable snowman. That's what it says. That's what it says. He traveled to the island and trekked through the jungle searching for signs of Anoda. Shockingly, where literally thousands of others through the last 29 years had failed, Suzuki succeeded. He found Anoda's dwelling place and Anoda himself. Suzuki had, but he still didn't believe him. 29 years later, he said, this sounds suspicious. So what Suzuki then traveled back to Japan with the news he'd found Anoda. Major Taniguchi, now retired and working at a bookstore, so he went from a general to a bookstore operator, was then brought back to the island and to Anoda to tell him that Japan had lost the war and he was to give up his weapons and surrender to the Filipinos. As you might expect, after living in the jungle doing what he thought was his duty helping Japan, now only turned out to be wasting 29 years of his life. And worse, killing and injuring innocent civilians. This came as a crushing blow to Anoda. Saints, I want to say this. We have to understand, don't spend another day thinking there's a war faction between God and His people. He's reconciled you. Oh, how he loves you. If we knew how he loved us, that's when the things that struggle so much of us would begin to fall off. That's when the things that we put our focus on are the things that we know we need to deal with in our lives, our weaknesses. That's when we turn those, we sweep those aside and focus on the one that reconciled us. And the next thing you know, the things that were there disappeared. They're no longer an issue. See, when you don't understand reconciliation, your struggles become your focal point, and you're looking in a magnifying glass, and that's all you see. Remove the magnifying glass, receive total reconciliation, that the war is over, that he paid, that you are clean, that he loves you, and focus on that. It's amazing the other things that all of a sudden become to the side and gone. No longer a focus. See, as long as you focus on sin, sin will continue to put a whooping on you. But as soon as you start focusing on him, the one who already paid the price, you start growing out of those things. They start stepping aside. They start becoming, now is there still things that you have to deal with as I grow in him? Yeah. There's still things all of a sudden I said, God, I didn't know that was there. I thought it was super humble. Right? I thought this or that. Then you find out you're just growing until you draw your last breath. Amen. The battle for reconciliation is over, saints. The war is over. A few more scriptures that are powerful. Mark 1, 1, 2, 3. So Mark 1. This is the good news about Jesus Christ, the Son of God. It began as the prophet Isaiah had written. God said, I will send my messenger, that was John the Baptist, ahead of you to open the way for you. Someone is shouting in the desert, get the road ready for the Lord. Make a straight path for him to travel. Well, that's awesome. We know that's in Isaiah 40, verses 3. Isaiah 40, verse 3 is where this is said. The voice of one calling out, clear the way for the Lord in the wilderness. Make straight in the desert a highway for our God. And I read that and I thought, man, that was awesome. And I was preparing for last Wednesday. And I thought, well, I wonder what was this clearing he was doing? What was the straight highway that John the Baptist was to declare? So I just read the first two scriptures of that chapter, and it became clear. Listen, saints, listen to this morning. This is powerful. This is what God said for that time, which is for this time. Comfort, comfort my people, says your God. Speak kindly to Jerusalem. Now, we're joint heirs with Christ, with the Jews and Gentiles. Amen now? Speak kindly to Jerusalem and call out to her that her warfare has ended. That is awesome. That her guilt has been what? Removed. That she has received of the Lord's hand double for all her sins. You know, all the pain. This is what this is saying. All the pain you've experienced in life, God wants to give you double joy. All the areas in your life where the enemy has ripped you off, God wants to give you double. That's what it says right there. He wants to give you double for all her sins, removing the sin, removing the shame, and to dare to believe that God wants to give you double for anything you've experienced at the hand of the enemy in your life. I've seen people that have wrecks in their lives. They say, God, how can you restore me? And when they trust in him, follow him, realizing this reconciliation. It's amazing over time what God does in restoring his goodness in their lives. I don't know about you, but I am believing and walking in double for all the pain that I've experienced in my life, saints. I don't know about you, but there's been a lot of pain in my life that I've experienced. But he says here, not only is he going to wash our sins away, he's paying us back double. Oh, saints, how he loves you and I. Dare to believe him that, man, he wants every area of our lives to be walking in total peace, total strength, total provision. But you've got to believe that he's already paid the price for reconciliation. As the worship team comes up, scriptures. I'm here to tell you about the gospel of peace. Romans 10:15 says this, and 10:15 says, how shall they preach unless they are sent? This morning, as it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the gospel of peace. The gospel of peace, who bring glad tidings of good things. This morning I bring you glad tidings, saints. I bring you good news this morning. Father, we thank you that we're going to walk in your peace. Thank you for a double portion of your goodness. You don't have to give to anybody for a double portion. If you see somebody on TV, I mentioned this Wednesday, they said, hey, send me some money and you'll get a double portion. Isaiah 40 verses 1 and 2 says, the double portion is already mine. Yep. Amen? You should be more excited about a double portion.
Amen.
Whew. I'm telling you. Romans 15:33. Now the God of peace be with you all. That was one of the last things he said as he was talking to this Roman letter. Now the God of peace be with you all. Amen. And then in Romans 16:20, he says, the God of peace, this is the thing, the God of peace will soon crush Satan under your feet. The grace of our Lord Jesus be with you. Man, there's a day coming when there is not going to be any more harassment by the enemy. Amen? None. Every tear wiped away. And until that day when Satan, everything's crushed, and the return of Jesus, and Satan is thrown into the lake of fire, yes. His peace belongs to me. He has reconciled his saints. Oh, how he loves you and I. So many such are the many of the troubles that we have is not that we need another experience. I love the experiences in the Lord, but it needs to go back, look at our foundation, yes. And making sure what we believe is gospel of truth, the gospel of peace. Can you stand up with me? Amen. So the first week I talked about redemption again. He bought us. Amen. I belong to him. He bought me. Justification. Justified freely by his grace. He's the one that's justified me. Sanctification. I'm born again. I have a born again spirit. And when you understand that, amen? When you understand that, then this reconciliation belongs to us. Can we just raise our hands if you're okay? Say, Lord, thank you for reconciliation.
Yes.
Lord, thank you that reconciliation, that you've already paid the price. Lord, Father, we thank you for peace. I receive in my inner man your peace in Jesus' name. Tell the Lord, saying, Lord, thank you for peace. Lord, yes. Lord, thank you for peace. Maybe there's some areas in your life where you're saying, Lord, I need peace in these areas. Father, I thank you. You paid the price for peace in those areas. So, Father, I access that, Lord. I ask that you would say, Lord, I ask for divine revelation in these areas of my life through Jesus Christ that I can walk in that peace because it belongs to me because you already paid the price. So, Father, we thank you for the spirit of reconciliation. Father, we thank you for your anointing. We thank you for the peace of God that belongs to us, Lord. We thank you, Lord. We think of Psalms 23 that you lead us beside the still waters. Amen. Lord, we thank you for still water in our soul, man, in the name of Jesus, the name above all names, the one who was, the one who is, and the one who is to come, the one who lives in me with purpose as I have been reconciled to him by the blood of the cross shed for me. Do you believe that, saints? Amen. Do you love him this morning? Hallelujah. Can I get an amen? I got to make sure you're awake out there. So we thank you for that, Lord, today. How we honor and bless you, Lord Jesus. If you need prayer this morning, if you haven't been reconciled to Christ, if you don't know him as your Lord and Savior, please come up here. We want to pray with you. If there's anything else, we have a few people up here that will pray with you.
Amen.
If you need prayer agreement to release peace in your life, please come forward.
Thank you.
But you don't know that. Sometimes it's just saying, Lord, you show me. You know, you have the same Holy Spirit I have.
Amen.
Everybody does. And he wants to show you, how to have peace in those areas because it was already paid for. Father, we thank you and we love you. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen and amen. You have a good